The 7 disciples, verse 1, were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go into every city and every place that he himself would visit. Their commission was to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. They were given strict instructions as where they were to go, what they were to take with them, and how they were to conduct themselves. The Lord reminded them they were like lambs before wolves. And it always reminds us that when we are an outreach worker witnessing, that we're to be as harmless as doves, to be like lambs. In verse 17, the 70 return from their labours with great heart and great joy, and they can hardly wait to tell the Lord, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through that name." And what a tremendous time they must have had, and their hearts were full of the joy of the Lord. And yet the Lord said in verse 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And of course there we feel that there's a word of caution, that in all our labours and in all our successes, that we should be very careful that we don't get puffed up with pride, because it was pride that took Satan out of heaven, that beautiful cherub. It was the sin of pride. And even in our service and our witness for the Lord, sometimes when the Lord is gracious and blesses us, we can get a wee bit ahead of ourselves and a wee bit full of ourselves. And so the Lord just gives them a gentle warning against that. He said he beheld Satan fall as lightning. Doesn't take much to get us down, sure it doesn't. Doesn't take much to hinder our witness for the Lord. So there's that warning that is given. And then he says in verse 20, and this is our text tonight, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Rejoice not in that through the power of God and by his grace that devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that you're saved and that your names are recorded in heaven. You see, there may be power to cast out devils, and I would suggest that Judas was among the 70 that were sent forth, and possibly he was one of those that were casting out demons. But yet we could be casting out demons and yet not have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you turn over to the book of Matthew, and we read in chapter 7 and verses 21 and 23, we read these words, and how solemn they are from the lips of the Saviour. "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So casting out demons does not necessarily mean that their names are recorded in heaven. He's telling us that many will say in that day, "Lord, we've preached in thy name. Lord, we've cast out demons. Lord, we've done many wonderful things." And Jesus said, "I never knew you." How solemn are those words tonight? We need to make sure, the first thing is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to make sure that our faith and our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, no, rather rejoice in that your names were written in heaven. What's our rejoicing tonight? Well, our rejoicing tonight as believers is that joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven. That's the greatest thing. Remember that day, that night, when we came to Christ and the burden of sin rolled away and the joy of the Lord that flooded our souls. That's the great blessing. And to know, because we're trusting in Christ as our Savior, that our name is written in heaven. And if your name is written in heaven, then you're going to be in heaven. That's a great blessing. Your name might not be written in the halls of fame. Your name might never be written on any citation for some heroic deed. And you may never appear, your name may never appear on the registers of colleges of great learning. But I tell you, if your name is recorded in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life, then that's the greatest thing you can have, and it brings the greatest joy, because all the attainments of this world and are going to end, but that which is eternal is our name written in heaven, written in indelible ink. All whose names are written in heaven will be in heaven. So we want to look at this text tonight. Rejoice not rather that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, he's telling us there about a record. Something is written down. And I want to look, first of all, that the record that is in heaven, our names are written in heaven. And this quite clearly shows us that God does keep records. He keeps a record concerning every person that is born into this world. Moses acknowledged that way back there in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. So Moses believed way back in the Old Testament that God kept a record. The Apostle Paul confirms God's record is written in heaven. If you turn over to the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 12 and verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. All our names of the Lord's people are written in heaven, and there's a record there of them. In Revelation 5 and 1, it speaks of a book written in the throne room of heaven. Revelation 20 and verse 12, we see there a great multitude of people, the dead they're called, both small and great, stand before God. And we're told that the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now the dead are those who died in their sins, those who died without God and without Christ and without hope. Their name is recorded in the books of the dead, the spiritually dead, those who died in their sins. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are those who trusted in Christ as their Savior and received eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now concerning these records, there are three records. God says it. His word tells us. And his word is truth. He's not a man that he should lie. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. He is the living embodiment of truth, the reality of God and his word. It's a complete record. Complete with regard to the life of every individual and all his deeds. Some people don't believe that, and they act and they live as if there's no one that's taken any notice that how does God see, and they carry on with their sin. But notice what it says in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Where will these words be? They're recorded in heaven. And every idle word is spoken. Men will have to give an account of that. Everyone that has belittled the people of God, those who have spoken ill against the Lord Jesus Christ, every idle word that's spoken, they'll give an account unto God. It's a sure record. 2 Peter 1 and 16 to 19 tells us about the Word of God, and he says we have a more sure record. Not a more true record, a more sure record. Why is the record more sure? Because it's written down. You see, if you tell someone to go on an errand, and maybe it's quite a distance away, and they just have it in their head, and you know how it is, before they get halfway down the road, they have forgotten it. Or maybe they've added a little bit to it. It's like somebody out in the Newry Road, and they're told something about another person, and you know, before they come to this church, it is lost. You would hardly recognize the message. Why? Because they've added to or taken from it. But you see, when it's written down, then it's sure. God's word is true, but the written word is more sure. It's not more true, it's more sure. It's recorded. It's recorded in the books in heaven. Now, we notice the rejoicing that's on earth. The record in heaven, then the rejoicing in earth. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Now the 70 were rejoicing because of their success in their labours. And well, they may do. But there is a great deal that men may rejoice in on earth. The success of their business. Or maybe some the success in public life. And some success in the arts. Some have success in sport or politics. Many rejoice in their families. But Jesus said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now the Lord isn't saying that we're not to be happy if we're successful in our business and public life and in our families. But rather, we are to experience the greatest joy that anyone can have. And that is the joy of the knowledge of sins forgiven. To have that knowledge that our name is recorded in heaven and written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This rejoicing is full. When we come to Christ and we trust in the Lord, then the joy of the Lord is our portion. I can well remember the time in November 1967 when I came to Christ. It was 11:45 at night, and as I came out of that home, cottage meeting, if you like, and I had a great sense of a burden been lifted, and the joy of the Lord was in my heart. It's full. There's nothing like it. It's enduring, because this rejoicing is not something that's transient. This rejoicing is not just for time, all the time, but for all eternity. You see, the things of this earth. And no matter how much people get pleasure in the things of this world, they're very transient. They're not going to last. Moses discovered that. And that's why he threw in his lot with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin, which are but for a season. The pleasures of sin, and I'm not one of those that would try to tell people there's no pleasure in sin. Because certainly when I was in the world, there was pleasure. But the thing is this, there's no lasting joy with them. It's only transient. It's like the man or the woman is out on a Friday night and they're on the tiles as they talk about, and they're having their fill of drink and they're having great times. And then the next day, they're back at it. Why? Because it doesn't satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can give us that water, that living water, that means we'll never thirst again. All the things in this world that people push for and strive for, lie for, maybe trample over other people to get, they're only for a little while. The Bible tells me that there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will come to this world again. And all those things in this world is all going to be rolled up. They're going to be destroyed by fire. All those things that people put so much store in, it's all going to be lost. And the only thing of worth that will last is the soul that is saved. This joy transcends everything else. And brethren and sisters, nothing should be allowed to rob us of the joy of the Lord. Neither sorrow or trials or distress, or indeed our successes. It remains unshakable. It's the joy of the Lord. Now, joy is something different than happiness. You see, happiness depends on what happens. And sadly, some believers seem to live their life like that. Up today, down tomorrow. Why? Because they depend on happiness. What is happening? If the business is going all right, they're happy. If things are going well in their relationship with their girlfriend or boyfriend, it's great. But if that comes to an end, then they plummet. But this joy of the Lord transcends all that. And the Apostle Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. So we never should let things, circumstances, our trials, our sorrows, rob us of this joy. It's full of glory. It's the rejoicing that the Lord is speaking about because our names are written in heaven. You know, everything could turn upside down. And in the credit crunch and all these things, the things might go wrong for us for a time. And we might get down and discouraged, but one thing will not change. If you and I are trusting in Christ, our name is not going to be erased out of the Lamb's Book of Life. It's going to be there. That's the great joy of the believer. No matter what happens in this life, our names are recorded in heaven and we're going to be there. But the big question is, maybe for some in the meeting tonight, is your name written in heaven? And you might say to me tonight, well, how would I know? And the only way we can know is to come as a sinner to Christ and repent of that sin and believe the gospel, receive Christ as our Savior. And I know everyone that does that, their names are recorded in heaven. And then you'll notice the rejection in eternity. As we said earlier, all people have their names written in heaven. There's a record of all our works, all our actions, all our words. But not everyone has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you turn over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great," that's those that died in their sin, "stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And then verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The book of life, the Lamb's Book of Life. Those that died in their sin, their names were recorded in the books, plural. But those that are saved, their name is written in the book, the book of life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And those whose names are written in the books, their deeds and their works are recorded there. They never came to Christ. They never could look back to that time when they repented and believed the gospel. They died as they lived, without Christ. And that's quite possible for a person to live without Christ. But I tell you, men and women, tonight, you dare not die without Him, because the consequences are awful. To die in your sin is to die without Christ, without God, and without hope. On earth they rejected Christ as Savior and Lord. Now they must face Him as their judge before the great white throne of God. How foolish to die without Christ. And I'm sure I'm not speaking to anyone tonight, but you have sat under gospel messages. You've maybe sat during gospel missions. You've heard the word of God preached, and God was pleaded with your soul. Maybe some night you felt when the appeal was made that you had to do something about this, but you listened to the old devil or some friend or other, and you procrastinated and you went out the way you came in. Listen to what the Lord says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. And so we find that God has spoken to your heart. How does he speak to our hearts? He has spoken through his word. He has spoken through the preaching of the word of God. We know that when God is speaking to our hearts, we're under conviction. And we've turned it away. We have shut our ears to it. But God has pleaded. God has pleaded. And God has done everything that men and women might be saved. And when he did everything, when he sent his son to the cross, and he pleads with them, and yet people reject his counsel. Even when the Lord walked the scene of time, we're told in John 5 and 40, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's how we have life, eternal life. That's how we get our name written in the Lamb's book of life, when we come to Christ and we trust in him as our Savior. Heretofore you've rejected the Savior. You haven't listened to his counsel. You haven't listened about the warnings that he's given you. And sometimes, you know, we read in the paper, we hear the death of someone, and maybe we read in the paper the obituary column, and that word is in brackets, suddenly. And sometimes we think, well, that's very sad, because that person perhaps didn't get a moment to think of where he was going to. But generally that's not right, because that person's had a lifetime to consider his latter end, and his death may come suddenly, unexpectedly, but he's had the opportunity previously. And it's a terrible thing that people say no to Christ. Notice he says in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity, I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. And why do men and women not come to Christ? Because they're filled with their own ways. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We speak to people sometimes about their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, their need of salvation, and invariably they say, but this is how I see it, or I think. And with all due respect, it's not what you and I think, or it's not the way that we think. It's what God has said in his word. And he's made it very clear that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's so plain. So plain. People say sometimes, oh, the way of salvation is too narrow. I'm glad it is. I'm glad it tells me very clearly that there is one way of salvation, and there's no confusion. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you see, if you reject Christ, and who knows the moment when we reject him for the last time? The last time. When the written record of the book of life is scrutinized, those that have rejected Christ, their names will not be found. There is no record of their repentance for sin. There's no record of faith in Christ. And those pages are scrutinized. There's not a word. No record of living for Christ. No record of ever doing the will of God. No record of the new birth. And no record of Jesus ever knowing you. See, it's not so much as what we know, it's what the Lord knows. And the Lord knows those that are His. He knows those who have put their faith and trust in Him, who've repented and believed the gospel. He knows them tonight. I look down the congregation and I can tell there's some I know that are saved, praise God. Others I just wouldn't know. But God knows. And we can try and fool people. And I well remember the night I was saved. And the evangelist asked me a question after I was putting up all sorts of excuses about good living and going to church and singing in the choir and sitting at the Lord's table and all that. And he just put the question to me. He said, "Jim, if you were in a car accident and just like that, you were in eternity, where would your soul be?" Now, I knew that man who's an Englishman. He wouldn't have known me from Adam. I could have told him anything. I could have palmed him off. But I just felt that night that someone else was asking the question, and I couldn't lie to them. And I had to admit that I wouldn't be in heaven, for I wasn't saved. The Lord knows us. And it's with the Lord we have to deal. It's not the preacher. It's not the session or committee of the church. It's the Lord. And one day we'll stand before Him, and every idle word there is recorded. And the Lord knows those that are His. And in the Lamb's Book of Life is recorded faithfully the names of every man, woman, boy and girl that's ever trusted in Christ. Tell me, is your name written on the pages bright and fair? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is your great joy tonight the knowledge that your sins are forgiven, that your name is recorded in heaven? That's the greatest joy. And if you haven't got that tonight, you're settling for second and third best. The greatest joy is to know Christ, to know Him as our Savior and our Lord, to serve Him. There's no greater service than the service of Jesus Christ. And we can all serve Him if we're saved in many, many ways. We don't all have to be behind the pulpit. We don't all have to be in the mission field. Thank God for them. But there's a multiplicity of ways that we can serve the Lord. And it's a joyous service. But hey, listen. When it comes to death, what is the greatest joy? It wouldn't matter if someone would come to you in your deathbed and say, "Look, I'm giving you £5 million. Look, I've just bought you a palace of a house and it's equipped with all the latest gadgets." It wouldn't do you a button of good. But if you can say in your deathbed, "I have Christ, what want I more? My name is recorded in heaven." That's the main thing. That's the joy that we want, to know that our name's recorded in heaven. Rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in heaven. You come to Christ tonight. You make sure before you got into the cold and the snow and the winter night that you have got the joy of the Lord in your heart, that you go out with Christ tonight and He has promised He'll never leave you or forsake you. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. 288 is our closing hymn. And it's a hymn of surrender, really. It's a word of confession. "I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find." 288 standing as we sing.
I am poor and weak and blind.
us pray. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless it to every heart. And we pray that there might be some soul or souls even now just saying, Lord, I'm coming to Thee. Coming to Thee, Lord, in all their sin. Coming to Christ for salvation. To the one who said, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. O God, may there be some that will leave the meeting tonight different from when they come in. Go out in the meeting with Christ in their heart and with Christ in the vessel. We can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Bless the congregation. Undertake for them. Bless each one tonight as we make our way home. Take each one there in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.